Accidental Technologist, Adventures in EdTech. My name is Trang, or Trang Lai, and I will be your host for this April 2006 episode. In the last show, the March Maps Alive podcast, I focused solely on thinking maps and right from the beginning. I will be expanding to include the uses of technology in schools and classrooms. Don't worry though, we will still have plenty of thinking maps. In fact, I have more flow maps to show you, and in this episode, we will be showcasing multi-flow maps. Multi-flow maps are a great way to show cause and effect in a variety of curricular areas, from science to social studies to language arts. I also have more examples from right from the beginning from teachers across Temple City. The reason why we changed the name of the show to The Accidental Technologist, Adventures in EdTech, is because I wanted a place to include my avid interest in technology and education that was piqued when I attended the Q in Palm Springs this past March. This episode will also be including an interview from four students who are very excited about using technology in their classroom. So welcome and enjoy as we start with discoveries at Q this past March 2006. One of the most memorable sessions that I attended at Q was with Bernie Dodge, the father of the famous WebQuest. His talk was entitled Geo, Tele, Wiki, Pod, Blogcasting for Understanding. It was focused on Web 2.0, otherwise known as the Read-Write Web. It refers to the fact that when you surf the internet, you don't just have to be consumers of information. It's not just for us to view and research, but actually anyone can become producers of information. This is a very powerful tool for students because this means that students don't just have to focus on doing research, but they can actually construct their own understanding, their own knowledge, and then place it on the web for others to view. In this particular podcast, I'm going to focus mainly on the geo section of his talk. In later podcasts, we'll delve into the other topics that he spoke about. Geo for Bernie Dodge refers to geography, maps, and things relating to the Earth. The first area that he talked about was geocaching. geocaching.com. I'm not sure about the educational application for this particular website, but basically what happens is that people put things into a box and they hide it and they give clues as to where this particular item is. And if you find it, you take it out and you put some other stuff in it for other people to find. It's like a game or a puzzle. You get clues and you figure out where that thing is. The other part that's very similar to geocaching is called travel bug. And it's like a dog tag. You put a note with it saying you want to travel to a particular place. Someone finds it. And if they know that they're going to be traveling closer to that destination that you have designated, they'll pick it up. They'll go to that particular city and they'll put it someplace for someone else to find. And then you're supposed to go ahead and go on the website and log where you've brought this thing. And hopefully it will eventually get to that place where you talked about. Another website is called the Degree Confidence Project. What people do is they take pictures of places where longitudes and latitudes meet, and then they post it on the web, again, producing information. An interesting site if you're studying whales is WhaleNet. Basically, it tracks where whales and dolphins are going, and you can ask students, what's the pattern? Does it have anything to do with the temperature of the water? Where do they go in what particular season? Google Earth has been getting a lot of attention lately. And what you can do is you can put in any address and you can then the satellites will focus on that address and bring up a picture of that area. If you are in a more populated area, it's more likely that there'll be more recent pictures of that particular place. He also says that on Google Earth, you can go to fboweb.com and it tracks planes from all over the U.S. It can tell you where they're traveling to, where they are currently. You can zoom in and out. You can track the velocity of planes. I see a math problem in here. Another interesting map website is Flickr Map, FlickrMap. It's a place where you can upload your photos and then you can go ahead and connect it to a particular place. You can upload any photo that you want and then pinpoint it on Flickr Map. Another interesting map website is Map Builder. This is a place where you can create a map and pin information to that map. So let's say that you wanted to have your students pinpoint where their families come from. You can go ahead and put it at that particular place, and then you can add some information to that map. Postcard Map is another website. At this website, they invite people to go ahead and post a postcard from wherever they are. So let's say you go on that website and you want to know what it looks like in a particular city in India. All you would have to do is go to the website and click on that city, and you can see the different postcards that people have posted. So why should we be using GeoTools in the classroom? Number one, it's factual. You can get a lot of information from maps. It also has some real-time information that you can use. You can do a Where's Waldo. You can find out about information about a particular state or a country. Maybe you can turn it into an inquiry project. For instance, where do cities happen and why? Let's take a look at map. There's definitely a pattern to where cities are formed. Why do people build restaurants in particular areas? Where do earthquakes happen and why? Don't just tell them. Let's go ahead and map where those earthquakes occur. Do we see a pattern from that? Maybe you want to study how whales move. Well, let's go to WhaleNet and find out. Maybe you want to find out information about rainfall. This is all things that you can do with GeoTools. So there's a lot of different things that you can use GeoTools for. It's great for concretizing information and for visualizing information. Perhaps you want to take a novel and map the path of the protagonist, or maybe you want to design a tour or write an article. These are all great ideas from Bernie Dodge. Please join us next time, and we will be exploring blogs, and if there's time, maybe even podcasting.
I'm very excited because today I have four wonderful students from Ms. D'Orazio's third grade classroom. I was very excited to go into their classroom, and they were even more excited to show me their PowerPoint presentation on Native Americans. And so today I'd like for them to introduce themselves to you.
Hello, my name is Brittany.
My name is Kristen.
My name is Jessica.
My name is Andrew.
Thank you so much for being here today and letting me talk to you. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that you told me that you prefer doing this PowerPoint presentation and using technology and using computers rather than using paper and pencil to learn about Native Americans. Why was the PowerPoint so much better for you?
It was fun, and we get to search for pictures and the colors of the words.
Okay, thank you, Jessica. Now, tell me about the color of the words, or what about the words was it that you like to do on the computer? Now we have Kristen.
We could like choose our own font, and we could choose the color, the words we want, what color. It was like really fun doing it.
That's great. What else was it that was neat about the PowerPoint? Go ahead, Brittany.
We got to do animation, and we got to get pictures on the internet.
So where did you get the pictures from the internet?
Pics for Learning.
Great. And what else was cool about the PowerPoint?
We gotta pick our colors for words and bullets.
What was it that really helped you to remember the information better? Why was it that it helped you remember the information better? We will go ahead and start with Brittany.
Because of the pictures, then we can sort of think of what the object is if we cannot really remember.
So when you see that picture in your mind, it helped you remember the information. Okay. Anybody else would like to add to that? Jessica?
We make the fun sounds And when they come in, it comes in different ways, and it's really fun.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope to see more of your projects in the future. Now we're going to be focusing on thinking maps. In the last episode, we focused on flow maps. I have a few more flow maps to share with you this time. And they are both from La Rosa School. The first one is about sea otters. Unfortunately, no name was turned in with this map, so I'm not sure who turned it in or what grade level it's from. The teacher devised a lesson that combined writing with science. They focused on the home habitat of sea otters. They were given an introductory statement. They had to find three facts from their research about sea otters. And from there, they had to draw together and come up with a conclusion after reading the introduction and body of the paragraph. The last thing they did was devise the title. Thank you for turning that one in. This next example is from Shelley Jan Clays, a third grade teacher at La Rosa School. She joins two worlds when she combines technology with thinking maps. I couldn't be any happier. She asked students to make a sequence map or flow map of how they made peanut butter. It was an extension activity from a story in their Hugh Mifflin reading book. Everyone made peanut butter. Then each student created his or her own simple flow map on the computer. It was their first time using the thinking map software. The kids really enjoyed it, and they obviously were very successful. Thank you for that great example, Shelley. Now we're going to move into the multi-flow map. The multi-flow map is a map used to show cause and effect. This map is probably my favorite map. The reason why I really like this map is because it opened a whole new world for me. I had taught cause and effect in second grade, and I taught it in sixth grade. And no matter what grade it was in, it was a very difficult concept for students to understand. And the reason that this thinking map really helped to solidify the idea of cause and effect has to do with that box in the middle. The box in the middle is for you to write the event in. All the boxes on the left are for causes. Then the arrow leads to the event. That really helped me to visualize and to understand that it was from the cause that we get to the event. And then from the event, we have arrows going out on the right side. And over on the right-hand side are all the effects. The arrows made all the difference in the world. The box in the middle that showed the event just really helped me to understand and to show students how to understand cause and effect. So enjoy this thinking map, and we have quite a few examples for you. Our first multi-flow map comes from a frequent contributor to our podcast, Vicky Tsai, a kindergarten teacher at Emperor School. This is a great example of a partial multi-flow map. For this particular lesson, the teacher really felt that it was only important for kids to focus on the causes of the event. So therefore, she only used the left side of the map and then the event box in the middle. There are no effects because that wasn't important to the story, and it wasn't important to the understanding the story. So thank you for this great example. This next multi-flow map example comes from Longden School, second grade. I was visiting different classrooms during open house, and I saw these two great multi-flow maps, one about Bobby Burnett, a language artist example, and the other one, also another language artist example, is why did the dinosaurs disappear? The boxes are large enough for students to write in, and the arrows point to the event in the middle, and then they move out to show the effects on the other side. Thank you for this great use of Microsoft Word and thinking maps. This example comes to us from Josette Schwartz, a second grade teacher at Emperor School, who has kindly dubbed me the thinking map maven. I believe it's a compliment, although I'm not 100% sure. She focused on the story, The Hole in the Dike. I love this example because it shows how we can use cooperative groups with thinking maps. She had four students join together in a group and create this map from a blank piece of paper, another great way to get students to think on their own, or with a small group in this case. They had the event in the middle, and instead of a set number of causes, she let the students come up with as many causes as they could find out and with as many events or effects that they could on the right-hand side. And so, as you can see, they were able to come up with a lot of different ideas in their cooperative groups. The only addition I might add would be to add some arrows to show the direction of the cause to the event and from the event to the effect. Otherwise, this is a great way to use thinking maps in a cooperative group. Thank you so much, Josette. In this example, Shelley John Clays, a third grade teacher from La Rosa School, created a multi-flow map in science. Volcanic eruptions was the event. On the left side, she had all the causes listed, and on the right side, the events, and we had the arrows going through. My favorite part was where a student wrote as an effect that you can die, and he had all capitalized and with an exclamation point. That is pretty gruesome. Thank you for this great example, Shelley. Sometimes people ask me why I would ever want to be an administrator. The answer is simple. It is so exciting to walk into classrooms and see all the wonderful work that students and teachers do every day. So it was no surprise to be excited when I walked into Mary Sneed, fourth grade teacher at Longden School's classroom. She had a multi-flow map on her wall, so I took out my handy-dandy digital camera, took a photo of this multi-flow map. It's taken from a language arts assignment. The students had an event. The barn burned down. All the causes were on the left side, and the effects were on the right side. What I liked about this project was all the colors, nice blue background and different colored inks to show the causes and effects. It made a very nice poster. Thank you, Mary. This last example comes to us from Erin Smith, a fifth grade teacher at Longden School. I must confess, it wasn't that she turned it in, it was that I saw it during open house. I took out my camera and took a picture of this cause and effect map about the Revolutionary War. A great example from social studies. They had the causes on the left side and again the effects on the right side. I like the fact that they were able to create their own number of cause and effects. They didn't have to stay with two or three boxes. They were able to create as many as they needed. Thank you for this great example, Erin. Now, we're going to move into right from the beginning. It's really exciting when you have a program that you know is going to be effective with the students. I'm very excited about this next example because Julia DeFore, a third grade teacher at Emperor School, turned in an entire lesson plan for us to look at. She began by reading a story from her lit book called Dancing Rainbows. From there, she has students do a circle map to tell about all the different things that they knew about the story focused on feast day. Next, she asked the students to create a tree map. In her third step, she asked students to create an opening paragraph answering who, what, where, when, how, and why. Now came the flea map. The flea map had an opening paragraph, there was a body in the middle, and then there was a closing paragraph or the reflection section. She also gave examples of transitional phrases that would be effective for students to use in their writing. In the last and final stage, we have the final writing product. In this one, preparing for feast day, we have three solid paragraphs that students wrote using the flea map. This is a great example with lots of detail. Thank you so much, Julia, for this example. This next right from the beginning example using a flea map was entitled My Dinosaur Project, and each student was able to choose a particular dinosaur to focus on. Unfortunately, I only know it's from La Rosa, and I'm not sure which classroom it's from, but enjoy these examples of different dinosaurs and their project. I don't have a final product example, but I'm sure that they had a great time creating it. Thank you so much, La Rosa. I have to say, I have been getting a lot of positive feedback from our first grade teachers. They have been very impressed at how fluent the students have become because they are using right from the beginning. This one is from Samoy Chun, a first grade teacher at Longden School. She began by having students draw a sea line in the middle of a circle map. Around the outside, she asked students to write about all that they knew about sea lions. From there, they organized the information into a tree map. Because the tree map really organizes it, it's easier for students to write from a tree map than a circle map. Here we see a rough draft, and in the rough draft, we have a few teacher edits, but otherwise, it's a very clean copy. From there, they moved on to the final product. You can see there are illustrations to go with the sentences. Thank you for this beautiful example of right from the beginning. The truth is, I can't do this without you. I need your help. Please direct your questions and or comments or stories about thinking maps or right from the beginning to Trang, that's TRANG, at tlie1@tcusd.net. Send it along with a digital photograph, and I'll include it in the next Accidental Technologist Adventures in EdTech. I'm also interested in stories about using technology in the classroom, so send me an email and I'll be happy to come over and get a recording of you talking about technology. This concludes the first podcast of the Accidental Technologist Adventures in EdTech. I hope that you have found some useful information about using technology in the classroom, right from the beginning, and thinking maps. In the next episode, we will focus on bubble maps. So save them up and send them to Jiang at Longden School. Remember, to subscribe, just click on tlie1.podomatic.com. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Accidental Technologist. I leave you with these words from John Dewey. If we teach today as we taught yesterday, we'd rob our children of tomorrow.